I thank you for everything that you give us. And I thank you that what you give us, everything that we need. God Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, why don't you all have a seat? Morning. Wendy has an announcement for you. Here we go.
Yes. It's super quick. The reason why we have a trash can up here in front is because we are getting ready for our neighborhood Halloween party.
Woo! Yeah.
What does that have to do with the trash can? Well, we fill this thing with candy to give away to the kids in the neighborhood who come visit us on Halloween night. Which
good
is
candy.
Good,
we fill it with good
candy.
Yes. No, no, no. Good candy.
We've been over this. We've been over this.
Yes.
There is a list online. I'm just kidding. Basically, what we're asking you to do is to help us fill this between now and Halloween with good candy. Good candy means chocolate. Mm. It means Starburst. It means Skittles. It means
those
no
little
dum-dums.
Twix. The Twix. Twix, yeah.
He wants Twix.
Uh-huh. yes.
Just see? Bring your favorite, and then it's talking. Guaranteed to be in there. The second thing is we need lots of people to pull off the Halloween party.
Yes.
And if you're lucky enough to be one of those people who passes out candy, you might get to have a little nibble of your favorite. But what we're going to do is pass the clipboard around. There's an explanation at the top, but I know that we don't like to read a whole lot. So you're going to want to put – it's true. It's true. How many of you read the entirety of your emails? Kathy does.
How many of you read the terms of service that you select, that you agree to whenever Apple updates their iOS or you buy software? Do you read the entire terms of agreement?
Okay, for those of you who do not
– yes, most people do not.
Let me just quickly explain – if you can be here on Halloween, and you can help, and you want to help, we would love to have you. It is so much fun. So we give away hot dogs, we give away hot cocoa, and we give away candy, and then we have games. Okay, so what we're going to do is there are categories here, and you see numbers under those categories. That means that's approximately how many people we need in each of those areas, okay, to help. So what you're going to do is put your name, email, and what area you'd like to help. If you're like, well, I can help with two areas, the only two areas that work, like you can do two at a time, is if you're going to help with decoration and setting up and do something else. But like you can't do hot dogs and games at the same time. So, we are like, if you're at either of those stations, you've got a steady flow of kids all night.
Mm-hmm.
So
once it starts, it doesn't stop until trick-or-treating is over and the kids go home. Yeah.
Yes.
So
you can't, wearing a costume is optional, but it is fun, especially if you work at the hot dog table and then you can wear a hot dog
costume.
Dress like
a hot dog.
Lori's got that covered.
Yes.
So there are, at the top, there are times like, so for different, you know, for a couple of the areas, like what time you need to be here, just so you know what you're committing to. And if you're like, well, I would love to help, but I can't be there till later, then
we always need help.
Indicate
up.
That because we always need help cleaning up or later on. So okay, so I'm going to start this and we're going to pass it around. I have one more quick announcement.
What? All right.
Ha-ha.
Are you preaching?
Sure. No, I'm just kidding. Just real quick, women, ladies, you heard that the women's retreat deposit is due today. However, we have a couple of spots left. And if you're like, dang it, I didn't get a chance to sign up, it's not too late. So get with me after or email me, or you can go to the website, findmercy.org/retreat, and you can sign up there. If you've been on the fence about it, let me just say this. So Karen and I got together to talk about it the other day, and we were like, oh my gosh, God is just downloading so much for us to share with you. And I really truly believe that what he wants to for the women that are coming, he wants to refresh you. Like I see, like I felt like he was telling me, like I want to fill them up. They're empty, and I want to fill them up. And so it's all about coming and just receiving and being refreshed. And you know what? There may even be a little bit of time for you to take a nap. If that's not incentive, I don't know what is. And if money is an issue, please talk to me, because we don't want money to be an issue for anybody. But if time is an issue, move things around. You do not want to miss this. I will see you there.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Are you sure?
Yep.
Nothing else? All right, good. Good, because I have one last announcement, and that's I just want to remind you that uncomfortable conversations are happening now on Wednesday nights at 6:30. You know, typically in church, there's been a whole lot of off-limit topics. Would you, is it yes or no? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that just typically doesn't get talked about in church, and a lot of things people say, I wish they would talk about that at church. This is an opportunity to talk about those things at church. And so, nothing is off limits. So we sit in a circle, and we have anonymous questions or topics tossed in a bucket, and we pull them out, and we talk about them. And it could be anything. I mean, last time we talked about flat earth. We talked about why does God look one way in the Old Testament and one way in the New Testament. I'm sure Supreme Court stuff will be talked about this week. It's nothing's off limit, and we have a chance to kind of talk about it in a safe, understanding environment with an attitude of understanding, not of arguing. And so it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. So that will be, that started last Wednesday. Feel free to jump in anytime. 6:30 is on Wednesday nights, right back there in our kids' space, and so that will be great. In case we haven't met yet, I'm Lee, and I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard Church, and so glad that you're here. Welcome. Welcome. It's a great Sunday. It's Family Sunday. It's Baptism Sunday. We've got a couple people being baptized today. So excited about that. Let's go ahead and put our mission statement up here. Let's say it together. This is what we're all about. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what our church is all about. We're a church on mission. We're not just a gathering place for believers to pat each other on the back. We're a church on a mission, and we do that through different things. And if you've been with us a while, you know there's lots of different ways that we live on mission. One is the Halloween party. One is we do a camp and a club now for abused and neglected foster children. And so we just love partnering with God and finding out what is on his heart and making that manifest in our community. That's what we're all about. And we're about loving each other and loving Jesus and growing in Jesus. And so this morning, we are concluding a 10-part series on the book of Luke. And hopefully you've been reading along with us. We're looking at the life and lessons of Jesus as reported by the Gentile gospel writer and doctor Luke. And Luke is unique among the Gospels in that way, in that it's written by a non-Jewish person. And what I want to do is I want to talk about some of Jesus' final words before he was crucified. Okay, just kind of some of his final things. And I don't know about you, but if I knew that I only had maybe a month to live or a couple months or weeks, I would probably want to say some of the most important things. I would want to impart and pass on some of the most important things. And we're going to be talking about some of his final words. But first, I want to ask, some of our kids. Who's a kid? If you're a kid. Some of our kids. I want to ask if we have one or two of our kids that want to tell us what the hardest thing they've ever done was. What's the hardest thing you have ever done? Huh? Aaron, what's the hardest thing you've ever done? Hardest thing. Absolute hardest thing. Think about it. What's the hardest thing? Hardest thing you've ever done. Go.
My mom told me to say to start a new school, but that's not it.
But that's not. Well, if you know that's not it, then you know what it is. What is it? All right. Answering this question is the hardest thing you've ever done. What were you going to say, Emma? What?
Moving.
Moving. It's the hardest thing you've ever done. Moving is hard, isn't it? That's tough stuff, man. You got to move to a new house, settle into a new room, new neighborhood, make new friends, go to a new school. Anybody else? Any of our kids? Olivia's hiding her face, which means she probably is thinking of something but doesn't want to say it. Yeah? Okay. All right. I want to talk about those hard things. Some of the hardest things that you've ever, like getting this mic into this clip. There we go. Okay. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I decided to join a karate class. Yeah, I joined it. I thought you were going to say getting your black belt. But I remember I joined it. I was in my early 20s. And I thought it would be awesome because when I was your age, I watched karate movies all the time. Kung Fu movies, people leaping on top of houses, breaking things with their fists. I mean, just like, I thought it would be awesome. But the truth was, these classes were like 3 to 4 hour accelerated classes, and the next day I would wake up and barely be able to move. Have you ever been stung by a bee? It's like that, but all over, right? All over your body. It hurts so bad. And it was so difficult. Sometimes I'd have to fight other people, sparring. We had an interesting thing. We didn't just kind of spar where you tapped each other. You just touched each other for points. We called it the bull ring, and they had people that would stand in a circle. It was a lot like Fight Club, you know. Stand in a circle, and if you stepped out of the circle, you'd get pushed back in the circle. And it was tough. Man, these guys were hardcore. And I remember one time I had to go to the doctor because I thought I got hurt. I got kicked really hard. Right back here, I thought, oh man, what if I hurt my kidneys or something, right? And that was tough. But when I held that black belt in my hand, I did not go, I wish I wouldn't have done this. I didn't hold it in my hand and go, man, that was just too hard. This was not worth it, right? A couple years ago, I wrote my first novel, and man, that was hard. I had to learn so much about writing. I would stay up really late at night and write, and it was tough. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, besides planning a church and raising teenagers. And I'm still trying to decide if those things were worth it. But I'm just kidding, guys. And so, but I remember just so many times I was tempted to go, this is just too hard. Man, I would love to just stop doing this. But you know what? When I held my novel in my hand, what an awesome feeling it was. Like, I did not go, not worth it. You know what I'm saying? It was worth it to work hard and to do it. And maybe you've been there before. Maybe some of our grown-ups have started businesses. That's tough, man, starting a business. Or maybe you joined a sport that was much harder than you thought it was going to be, but you stuck it out to the end of the season, right? Any of your kids ever join a sport and want to quit halfway through? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so tough. When I started to talk about quitting football, my dad was ready to kill me because that gear was expensive. Right? Dad goes out and buys the helmet, buys the pads, you pay for the jersey. You get halfway through the season, you want to quit, your dad wants to kill you. All right? I didn't spend all that money. Okay, so, I mean, it's tough. Or maybe getting a degree. Some of our adults here, man, that's hard. Especially if you get a degree after you get married and you have children, and then you're working to get your degree. Maybe you get your master's degree, you know. Or maybe it's making peace with somebody. You ever have tension between somebody? Maybe you got offended, or you offended them, and you've got to have a very uncomfortable talk, and you know it'd just be much easier to avoid that person, right? Oh, it'd be so much easier just to avoid that person. Or maybe, you know what, getting in shape, right? That's tough. It's hard to get healthy and get in shape. Or maybe teaching your children to drive. some groans out there. Ugh. I know. I've been there. And I was like, you know what? I don't care how much Skiles cost. We're sending you to driving school, you know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Every time you get in the car with your child behind the wheel, you get your life right with God. in that moment. I mean, you're repenting of things you didn't even, just like all of a sudden Holy Spirit reveals stuff you got to repent of, right? Because you might die. And that's tough, man. That's hard when you're teaching your children to drive. It is natural. It's normal. In fact, our brains are wired to avoid difficult situations. It's totally natural to want to avoid things that are hard, to avoid things that are difficult, to step away and protect yourself. We like it when the boat isn't rocking, right? We like it when it's smooth sailing. Those are good days. You know, if we could just spend every day just sort of on calm waters, boat's not rocking, everything's going good, that's awesome. But Jesus, it's a lot like preaching on Family Sunday. It's hard. It's doing the hard things, right? And but Jesus, during his last hours, remember we're talking about Jesus' last words. Jesus, during his last hours, it's just before his crucifixion, he set the ultimate example of facing a difficult situation. He painted the best picture for us of how we handle hard things. And he continued on toward this difficult situation. He continued on towards his passion, his crucifixion, even though he knew it was going to be probably the hardest thing anybody had ever endured. All right? And so we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. We're going to do that real quick. But first, hey, I want to pray. Let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much. We thank you that you are not a God who avoids difficult things. And God, I believe that you are also a God that draws us in towards difficult things, to do hard things. And I pray, God, that you would cause your word to come alive in us today, that you would cause your word to take root in our hearts and bring transformation. We love you. We pray, Holy Spirit, come. Come and illuminate your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in Luke chapter 22, we see Jesus. He's in the final hours before his crucifixion. And he's with Peter, and he's with James, and he's with John, and they're on the Mount of Olives praying together. So they're praying together just before his crucifixion. Jesus knows what's about to happen. He's in need of strength to keep going. And so it says this, starting in verse 39, it says, "Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them," this is so important right here, hear this part, "pray that you will not give in to temptation." Can you guys say that with me, everybody? Pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have never been so nervous about something that I sweat blood or sweat like blood. That's never happened to me in my life. I'm pretty sure probably none of you have been so nervous about taking a test, so nervous about going to a job interview, so nervous about sparring or getting your black belt or anything like that, that you sweat drops of blood. But Jesus knew what he was about to endure, and the agony of that caused him to just sweat drops of blood. He was in such agony. Okay? And then it says, "At last he stood up again, returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep." So his closest friends, the ones that are supposed to be there for him, praying for him, fell asleep, exhausted from grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation." Did you notice that Jesus said that twice? Twice he said, "Pray that you will not give in to temptation." All right? And if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. Resist the temptation of easy. Just think about that for a minute. Resist the temptation of easy. Because remember, easy comes natural. We're wired to avoid conflict. We're wired for easy, to desire easy. And Jesus is saying, pray that you don't give in to temptation. And the temptation I want to talk about today is the temptation of easy. Twice Jesus told his disciples, pray that you will not give in to temptation. Because Jesus knew that the disciples would be tempted to take the easy route. right? He knew that the disciples will be persecuted for what they believe in, that they would be persecuted for preaching the gospel, that they would be persecuted for sharing the good news, right? And the easy thing for the disciples would have been to sit back and kind of blend in, right? To not preach a controversial message, to not preach the gospel. He said, pray that you won't give in to temptation. In fact, just a couple hours later, Peter denied knowing Jesus. Why? Now, I'm just going to give you the Lee translation or the Lee interpretation of why. But I believe that Peter denied knowing Jesus because it was easier to deny knowing Jesus than to be lumped in with him while Jesus was being persecuted. That Peter probably denied knowing Jesus out of a sense of self-preservation in that moment. If I say I know Jesus, it's going to open up a whole can of worms with these people. But if I deny knowing Jesus, then maybe they'll leave me alone, right? And hey, we do it. We all do it. We do it at work, don't we? We don't want to be lumped in with other Christians. When somebody maybe asks us a question about our beliefs, we kind of go, well, you know, I kind of believe this, but, you know, it's just part of my life. It's not all of it, right? And we all kind of shrink back in these areas because it's so much easier than to open up a conversation that may become hostile, that maybe people kind of might get a little nasty or weird about because you're a Christian. And so a lot of Christians do that today, just what Peter did, okay? And so we're tempted by easy, because that's easy, isn't it? I'll just be honest. That's just, it's easier to kind of blend in than to stand out as someone who follows Jesus. And so so we don't want to avoid these difficulties by hiding our faith at work or at school. We want to do the difficult thing, okay? And I think that the temptation that we've faced more than anything else isn't to do what's evil, but it's to do what's easy. Would you agree with that, yes or no? You know, the temptation we face isn't to do, most of us aren't tempted to go and, you know, murder somebody today. Most of us would be tempted to just not do something. Tempted to not give to somebody in need. Tempted to not, you know, pray for somebody who needs prayer. Would be to not, you know, take a positive, loving stand for the Lord. And so it's just easier to, even people maybe that you need to make peace with, it's easier, like I mentioned before, to avoid that person than it is to have that conversation and say, hey, let's mend this thing. Let's get over this offense together, right? It's way easier to, let's say, sleep an extra half an hour than to get up and pray, isn't it? Yeah. It's a lot easier to just sleep an extra half an hour than to get up and pray or be in the Word. It's easier to get out of shape than to get in shape. Yes or no? Right? Hey, man, getting fat's easy, right? Getting out of shape is easy. You just eat whatever you want and you don't exercise and you just, that's so easy. But getting in shape when you've been out of shape, that's hard. That's tough, man. That takes discipline. It's easier to make excuses, and it's difficult to be generous, right? I mean, hey, if you want to see somebody's mind work, present a need in front of them, and all of a sudden they'll give you 10 reasons why they can't help meet it, okay? Hey, when your friend asks you if you can help them move next Saturday, doesn't your mind go, no, there's 10 reasons why I can't come help you move. Sore back, have a funeral, maybe. I don't know, I might kill somebody. You know, and we think all those. It's easy to come up with excuses, excuse me, but it's difficult to actually to serve and to give and to show generosity. And it's easy to live in mediocrity, and it's difficult to do something extraordinary. If it was easy to do extraordinary things, everybody would be doing extraordinary things, right? I mean, there'd be new businesses everywhere. This neighborhood would look like brand new. You know, churches everywhere would be just overflowing. We'd have to start new churches and new churches and new churches, right? If extraordinary was easy, everybody would do it, okay? And the next thing is this. Oh, wait a minute, I skipped a part. As believers, God calls us to resist the temptation of easy. I believe that God calls us to resist the temptation of easy. Because when we resist the temptation of easy, we have the opportunity to reflect God's creativity, right? We have the opportunity to reflect His compassion. We have the opportunity to reflect His sacrificial love and joy and His greatness. Okay, I'm so glad and so grateful that Jesus resisted the temptation of easy, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, because think about it. Jesus was, they cheered His arrival into Jerusalem, man. He could have been like a celebrity. He could have lived like wonderfully. Everybody loved Him, loved Him, loved Him, loved Him. And He resisted that temptation. As people laid palm branches down at His feet as He entered the city, they loved Him so much, right? And He resisted easy, and He did what was difficult, and He went to the cross for us. I'm so glad that Jesus resisted easy. And so the next thing is this, always choose God's will over your own. Always choose God's will over your own. This is something that a believer must choose to do every day. And it's not easy. It is not easy, okay? Choose God's will over your own, even if it's the hardest thing you've ever done, right? When we did Royal Family Kids Camp, when we started that, we knew that was going to be hard. And when we had our first camp, that thought was confirmed. Yes, that was very hard. Okay? I mean, resist easy. Choose God's will over your own. Jesus was in such agony, but His prayer was, I want Your will, God, not mine. I want Your will, not mine. When was the last time you prayed that? I mean, think about that. When was the last time you prayed that? God, I want Your will, not mine. God, I want Your will, not mine. Okay? Following Jesus isn't easy, but it's always worth it. When Jesus rose from the dead and He met with His disciples, do you think He went around, He looked around and went, why did I do that? Why did I endure that scourging for these people? Why? No way. In fact, Scripture even says that it was for the joy that was set before Him, right? And so He never said it wasn't worth it. It's not worth it. Be determined to follow God's will no matter how hard it is. It may be to foster. I believe that God has called some of us to foster children. That's so hard, man. Some little body invades your home, right? They might upset the apple cart. They might do things like wreck your stuff, right? That's hard. But God calls us to do the hard things. It's hard stuff. You know, God may be calling some people here to break off a relationship. But what about them, and how are they going to feel? And you know what? If I break things off with them, they might stop coming to church. And they're coming to church for the wrong reason. You know, it's the hard stuff. Maybe it's to start a business, right? Maybe start a business. Boy, that's so hard. The idea of starting a business is awesome until you take your first business class. And it sounds like somebody's speaking Latin to you. And they're talking about profit and loss. They're talking about tax. Yeah, I know. Linda's ears prick up because she loves that. She's like a numbers nerd. What? P&L? Say that again. You know, you just love it. And so some people love that stuff. Not me. Not me. Right? Sometimes this is just white noise to me. And in fact, I met with Linda the other day. We talked numbers in the church. And you know, locations and buildings and all this stuff. And Linda kind of got into the income formula for deciding what a building is worth and all this stuff. And I'm just in my mind, Linda. I'm just going, focus, Lee, focus, focus. Don't think about cartoons. Think this is important, right? And so the hard stuff. It's the hard stuff. Okay. And some people, maybe the hard thing for you is just making friends at your new school because you just moved, right? And you got to reach across, and maybe people aren't reaching out to you to make friends with you, so you've got to do it, right? And so you got to do the hard thing. Always choose God's will over your own. Always choose God's will over your own, all right? And the third thing is don't give up when others don't go with you. Don't give up when others don't go with you. Oh, that's just so hard. One of the most difficult things about doing things that are exceptional, that are difficult, that make a difference, is that a lot of times it's lonely. It's really lonely. I remember this is not our first church that we started. Actually, this is our third church. But I remember when we started our second church, we were living in Connecticut, and we wanted to go back to Wisconsin where I grew up to start a church. And I remember calling people back home in Wisconsin and saying, hey, if we started a church, would you be on board? Would you want to be a part of that? Would you help out? And of course everybody said, yes, you need to come and do that. I'll be all over that, right? And when we came and we had our first Sunday, not a single person that said they would be all over that was there. It's lonely. It's lonely when you follow God's will sometimes. It's lonely when you do exceptional things. When you start a business, everybody says, I'm going to tell all my friends about that business. And they don't. All right? And so we need to go even when others don't go with us. All right? People don't support you like they hope they will. Sometimes people are even hostile towards you when you do something exceptional. Right? Have you ever done something like maybe you got an award, or maybe you started a business, or maybe you're the first person in your family to get a degree, and somebody accuses you of thinking you're better than everyone? Yeah. Sometimes people even get hostile towards you when you follow God's will, when you do something exceptional, and they just make fun of you, right? Always choose God's will, all right? Sometimes people feel indifferent towards the things that you're excited about. Sometimes people tell you you're crazy because of your commitment. I know we have people here that serve a lot. They serve in different areas. And as your friends or family members, everyone, you just spend too much time over there. What do you do? What are you doing over there, man? You know, why are you giving 10% of your income? You know, why are you tithing when, you know, your kids need new shoes? Right? Why are you giving when, you know, you could have a nicer house or have a nicer car? And people question the exceptional things that you do. And it's crazy. It's warm in here, isn't it? Honey, would you go touch the thermostat? Thank you. At my house, nobody touches the thermostat but me. Did any of your parents ever yell at you for touching the thermostat? Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Who touched the thermostat? Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay. They'll tell you you're crazy, okay? Doing exceptional things is often difficult. It's sometimes lonely, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it. The last thing is this. Let Jesus be your example to follow. Let Jesus be your example, okay? He is the king of hard things. He is the king of leaning into difficult things. Let him be your example. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. Endurance. The race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We need to get rid of the thoughts, get rid of the attitudes, the activities that keep us from God's will. Remember how Jesus walked toward the difficult things. He did what was hard. Okay? Remember, we can always come up with excuses why we can't do the difficult things. There's always a reason. There's always a reason. Right? And so, don't walk away from them. There's joy waiting for those who won't quit when things get tough. There's joy that's waiting. Resist the temptation of easy and watch how God does amazing things through you. And so I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to just wrap up in prayer this morning. And we're going to do some baptisms. I'm so excited about that. But I'm going to pray, and then we will have... We'll bring up Julie first. We'll do ladies first. Is that okay with you, Ian? Yeah. Julie's getting baptized. Ian's getting baptized. So stoked. But let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that you designed us to do difficult things. You designed us to do hard things. And as we do them, as we lean into difficult things, you go with us, you strengthen us, you empower us, you encourage us. And God, I pray that we would be people who aren't afraid to do hard things. We would be people who do exceptional things for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.